Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Mysteries, Miracles, and Mysticism. I'm your host, Vanessa, and welcome to the show. I'd like us to start off on maybe a beautiful piece from Almin while we're waiting for Joanne to come on. I'm just going to play this, and let's see what happens. Enjoy. It's called Change Inside.
If we don't like our environment, then change inside. Change your perception by taking an afternoon at the river and working on one statement. It's the quality of the journey. It's this moment. That's all I have. But this moment ties eternity together. And my strand ties the whole web together. And that's why it's so important. And an opponent is never a true opponent. An opponent is always an ally. It's like our, quote, faults. Let's look at our faults. What faults are fossilized energy. A fault is fossilized energy. And that energy is power. So in other words, should we not be combing the shadows within? It is in the shadows within that our greatest power lies, because it is our faults that is actually, remember what I've called them? Constrictions, I've said, or limitation, is a constriction in the universal flow of energy. But think of it as a damming up, damnation. Okay, inside. So we've got damnation going on here with our faults. What that means is there's a whole reservoir of power in these faults. That's why I said yesterday they are our ticket to freedom.
Hi, so that was the beautiful audio. I can hear an echo, actually. I don't know if you can hear that, Joanne, can you?
Funnily enough, I could hear some sounds in the background, and I thought that it was you talking, and that it was like it was at really low volume. So I decided not to say anything just in case everybody else could hear you. So I'm not really sure what's going on, actually.
Actually, I'll tell you after, but it's okay. It's clear. So that was called Change Inside by Almin. Beautiful audio. And how we can, as she's saying, comb the shadows within, and, you know, change our perception, change our reality, because we are our environment. So I have put in like an upload. I know we've played these before, but I just felt, because of just massive shifts that have happened cosmically and on Earth right now, I left my personal elixir in there because I just still felt to play it. And the Hadjikal brainwave meditation, I've just left them where they are because it still feels resonant to me.
Yeah.
And we'll just see what unfolds with the show, obviously, as well. And with that, welcome to the show. And welcome, Joanne, to the show. It's been a bit of a, I don't know what way it started, but anyway, we're here, and that's the main thing. We are keeping the torch burning, as we say. And very grateful to be here also. So, Joanne, would you like to, today we're going to actually do Kanishva Vaspata Enlightenment Level 5, for those who are interested. I'm just telling our beautiful listeners that we're going to do Kanishva Vaspata Enlightenment Level 5, so I don't know if you want to speak about some of the other stuff, or would you like to do Kanishva Vaspata Enlightenment Level 5 first, maybe?
And then we can go on to the other stuff.
Yeah, okay.
I think we should do Kanish and just begin with it, and then we'll move on from there. I'm in agreement.
I don't know. Maybe the volume's quite low or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, look, do you want to open it up?
Would you mind opening it, actually, Vanessa? Do you have the sigils in front of you?
I do, actually. I do. So I'll go ahead and I'll start. Now,
thank you. I have the Carnish book, but for some reason they don't have the opening sigils in it.
Yep.
So if you wouldn't mind, and then maybe I can open the Enlightenment 5 and we can kind of go from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whoever is listening, keep yourself very comfortable and relax and take some deep breaths. Have a nice blanket with you or a pillow or wherever it is you are. And just take those moments to go into eternal time, which is a state of timelessness. Your heart center begin to open. See it open beyond the speed of light. See our beloved earth within your heart center. Expand and expand to incorporate all of the planets, known and unknown, all of the cosmos. Keep expanding. I now call the angel as we include Almin and her beautiful family in this sacred healing as a proxy for all of life and for all of our own families, that it benefits all life. I call the angel Ruset V Urubak. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. La Utvapata, for the opening of the mind. I call on the angel Irum Umubak. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within my entire being, our entire being. Ruvek pa ururek, for the opening of the heart. I call on the angel Thru Ariupleva. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. Kel Avistava, for receptivity of the body. And I would like to call another angelic being before we go into Kanish. I call on the angel Kir Itre and look. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. Pu Havesti Staamag, for self-love. And I call on the angel Kan Ig Vishva Heresti. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil that I hold, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. For the silencing of the mind. Page one, if you want to open up, Kanish.
So I call from the angel Kanish, Virushva. By the power of the sigil that I hold, I call on you to create a fluid and graceful process of purification and enlightenment through level 5 of Kanish Bhavasata. Call upon the angel Kalabi Suvavet, and I instruct you to place your sigil Mustefi Velebra Hasi within our being.
with the attitude of surrendering to the moment. I call upon the angel Salvavi Piresh Muravet. And I instruct you to place the sigil Eros Kle Uhuravish within our being. For the attitude of taking full responsibility for the environment, I call upon the angel Kesit Manaveh. And I instruct you to place your sigil Kinasat Lubakvi Erut Prave within our being. For the surrendering to inner guidance,
I call on the angel Vilshkrabi Minhursat by the power of your holy and sacred sigil that I hold. I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. Granik Stelaba Sketi. For the complete wholeness of self through the implementation of the 144 self wheels. I call on the angel Grun Ik Ustatvi. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil that I hold, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our being. Chilenat Esfavi Nusva, for inner contentment and peace through embodying the four wheels of inner peace. I call on the angel Pir Itrak Ushel V. By the power of your holy and sacred sigil that I hold, I instruct you to place your holy and sacred sigil within our entire being. Selva Nusvi Sklaurak Uhelatvi. For the embodying of the 13 wheels of the manifestation of majesty.
I call upon the angel Sturbabech Inu Urubach. And I instruct you to place the official Kenesh Hararuk Nish Verti Unsava within our being. For the complete synchronization of our environment with the perfection of our individuation, let we embody the wheel that contains all.
I now end this holy and sacred healing with much praise, love, and gratitude to the angelic beings that came here and to Amin for bringing through such a sacred healing modality. We've already done the 144 wheels, so we're not going to do them again. It's not necessary to do them at every healing session.
maybe at this point it would be nice to say you're a listener, Vanessa.
Personal elixir that Almeen did for me. I actually bought it online from Almeen, and she was doing sacred personal elixirs that actually last forever. They're for your entire lifespan, or life, I don't want to say lifespan because forever, okay? They, as the, you know, shifts happen in the cosmos, they're automatically upgraded. And they help cancel out illusion. They also help cancel out emotional control, amongst other things. So they are very, very powerful and sacred tools to have. I, for one, am extremely grateful to have this in my life. It also helps cancel out mind control. And I would love if Joanne would like to play hers at some stage on the show. It would be a total gift, by the way, Joanne.
Oh, yeah, I know. I have it inside my head or my being. I kind of access it inside my head, but you know, you can hear it inside you.
Hmm?
You know the way you can hear it inside you.
Well, I really enjoyed listening. You can hear it inside you, I suppose, if you decide to do that, yeah. But
yeah.
I would love
but,
to
I mean,
play
I would,
it.
Obviously, I'd love to share it as well, of course.
I'd love to hear it. I really would love to hear it. Almeen also did translations for those, which are quite personal. So in English, actually, what they actually mean for those moments. So they are very, very sacred, very, very personal. And mind-blowing would be the words I would use. Also just a total gift to give oneself. So that's why I share it, because anyone who listens to it, hopefully the frequencies, you know, are so sacred in it that, you know, you're going to have these subtle shifts, if not big shifts, within. So it's very beautiful. So, without further ado, is there anything you would like to tell us, Joanne?
I know we were talking about what?
Your volume is quite low on your side. I don't know if your volume is up at full, but
I don't know. It's actually on full volume on my thing, so I'm not really sure what's going on. I'll bring it closer to me. Can you hear me any better now?
Yeah, it does sound a bit better.
Okay, it's very strange. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, I suppose what you're referring to is just what I had written on Facebook earlier on.
Yeah. Joanne had posted a beautiful post on Facebook. Everyone who's listening, it was an amazing post that just came through her from the silence of her being. And I've been asking her to please share it with us because it's interesting. Like, I had been quite teary today. And then when I connected with Joanne, she was also quite teary. And I actually sent her a message joking, saying, what are we like blubbering, teary people, you know? And we were laughing at ourselves because, there have been so many shifts with grief. We were keeping a good eye on grief and just obviously observing, sacred government, I suppose, within ourselves and seeing what is being manifested in physicality. So I think there's been a lot of emotion connected with that. But also when Joanne posted something on Roots and Wings, which feels to me like it's kind of holding its own sacred space. Okay, Joanne, I'll leave Joanne tell the rest because it's just so sacred.
I had been singing at a funeral this morning and a few things kind of occurred to me. And it was a very rainy day here in Ireland. I mean, it was just, you might say, why is that surprising? Because everybody knows that it rains in Ireland, but it was particularly rainy and thundery and all that kind of stuff this morning. But my feet got wet and I decided to go in somewhere for lunch and I just couldn't move. I just had this urge to start writing and I haven't written, I love writing poetry, but I haven't written any poetry for a month. So I just took a pen and paper out and just wrote something small. And all of a sudden I just knew I had to post something on Facebook and on the Roots and Wings page on Facebook. And it turned out it was a letter, and I'm just going to read it out, and I hope that it, I don't know, I hope that it inspires or whatever. I can't even remember what I wrote, actually. So
wrote a letter nearly for Amin. I feel it would be nice to hear it, actually, Joanne, just to...
Okay, I'll read it. I'll read it out now. It was like I just felt I wanted to connect with her because I've really been feeling for her and for everything that she has been through and everything that she has done for everybody and for just being this incredible life. For me personally, I just feel so grateful that I was able to go to retreats with her and experience just being in her presence, because it's just an incredible experience. It really, really is, and it's life-changing. And I think, when you go to these retreats, and Vanessa will know, there's always an excitement and whatever, but I think it's all the more, you appreciate more how much she's done for you when you've had that time to actually not have access to, what was, available up until this point, because she's been through so much with her healing. So I just wanted to kind of express that. So I wrote, Dear Almeen, I know that you may not see this, but somewhere within me I know you will feel it. This morning I was singing at a funeral of a man and I heard one of the family read a story about a man who was walking with God along a beach whilst retracing his life.
he noticed that there were two sets of prints on the sand, but when his life would go through low points or when he experienced difficulties, only one set remained. He asked God why he had been left alone at the low points in his life, and that God had answered that it was at these moments that he was being carried. As I heard these words, I remembered again the precious sand elixir you gave me, in which you told me, quote, "I'm always with you, this you must know," unquote. I heard the priest speaking about God within man and man within God, and as I sang, calling the angels to comfort the family, I enfolded them in the grace of my divine compassion, in an expanded state where I lost myself in you. During the most difficult period in my life, I literally saw you and felt you rocking me in your arms, though you were thousands of miles away, when my heart was so broken I could barely breathe. And when I saw you in Genk in 2012, you confirmed my experiences of your holy presence by telling me you felt the pain I was in. So I write these words as a tribute to you. I would never have remembered who I was if it was not for the miracle that brought you into my life. As I write these words, tears fall as diamonds from the stars of my eyes. I love you, and I dedicate my life to this remembrance in the hope that one day I will fly with you. This has always been my dream. I mean, your voice is the precious wind that blows through the sacred larynx of the trees. It is the song of the birds, the sound of the laughter of children and fairies. It is the crash of the waves on the seashore. It is the divine chorus of angels singing through humanity. It is the bliss of intimate oneness embrace, and I will sing your praises forever, until one day you find your beloved voice again, exactly where you left it, in pristine glory. I love you, the rose.
That is so profoundly beautiful. And so profoundly beautiful and heartfelt. And would you like to share with us what happened after this?
It's kind of so precious to me that I don't really want to.
Okay.
But,
okay, yeah. You don't have
she
to.
She did respond, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So
if you want, if anybody who's listening, if you want, you can check it out on Roots and Wings. And I know there are some beautiful responses. I know a lot of people were probably feeling what I just happened to articulate. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I was crying when I read it. But I was just like, oh God, here I go again. I'm having one of those days. But
because I just felt that, you know, when somebody does so much and they're holding so much, I don't think you necessarily know it. Like the parable of the man walking along the sand with God or whatever. You know, sometimes you don't realize that you're being so supported through things that can be challenging as you're kind of letting go of all of these beliefs and whatever that has kept all of humanity stuck. And so you come in, I mean, very bravely to help release all of this stuff so that people, yourself and everybody else in the cosmos can be released from this. And it's a brave thing to do, but sometimes there are moments when you just feel very lost and very low. But it's at those times that, for me, that I know that I've been supported by Almin, and her presence is such a massive, massive gift to everybody. You know, for her to be on Earth at the moment, and I want to acknowledge that because she's been through so much and she deserves to have our love and support in return, a thousandfold, a millionfold. And that's why I wrote it.
And you were responded to by Almin through someone else. And that in itself is a sacred gift. So I suppose people can view that on Roots and Wings if they really want to view it. But it was just a very, it was very beautiful that, you know, obviously what you wrote had completely touched her, but also we look at it and, well, it touched my heart immediately when I actually, the tears, I couldn't stop the tears when I actually read it. It's just, it was because it's so resonant, you know. So it's just, yes, you were able to articulate it for exactly the right moment and it flowed through you. And it's touched so many. You can actually see how many it's touched so far. It's just very beautiful. But I would really love to ask you.
It also shows as well how connected everybody is as well, you know, because sometimes you doubt yourself when you're thinking about somebody and actually they're thinking about you at the same time, or they're feeling what you're feeling, or they're, you know, we're just all one, and I think it's really important to remember that.
I feel that too. And it's important to remember, as I was saying to you, I woke up the other day and I decided, that's it. I am no longer pretending to be human. That's it. Because I don't know, I just feel like it helps you remember your oneness more and who you really are. And I just really feel that you know, you don't get pulled into games and into human games, you know. And I just really felt that what you wrote is quite beautiful, and it just, something obviously shifted within me that I felt I was releasing on behalf of the many, you know. And I don't think it's any accident that we were both crying, you know, before this response came, you know. And, and you know, Joanne and I don't live near each other, you know, just so we're both in Ireland, but we don't live near each other. So it's quite interesting that we were both crying, you know. It's actually, we laughing and crying at the same, you know, moment. And then... I don't know if you want to do this, John, but I would love if you could share your poem that you wrote, if you feel to. Would you feel about sharing that at all?
Yeah. I forgot about this as well, because I don't really think when things are coming through me, but I did. I wrote a poem which I dedicated
sacred
to Amin.
It's what I would say it is, it's poetic, it's alchemy through poetry, what she has wrote. It's actually so beautiful. So I am asking Joanne to read it because of the inspired poetry that's come through her. But it's more than poetry. It's a sacred alchemy that I feel will shift anyone that hears it on very deep levels. Those who are aware of the rose.
If I can find it, that would be even better.
Is it on Roots and Wings?
Is it as well?
Oh, it is. It's on Roots and Wings.
Okay, let's
just
see.
Go straight to Roots and Wings and you'll see.
Let's see. Ah, yeah, there it is. Okay. So this came through me after the letter, actually, after I had written the letter. So this is a dedication to Amin. The goddess rose from the ashes of a life half lived. Eyes barely opened, a thin line, a slice of light that had greeted them in the morning, now open, blossomed, outstretched to embrace the full glory of the sun, light and heat, dove and rose, utterly indivisible. Not for nothing the dream has been. Autumn leaves bless the land with multiple hues, and in winter's slumber, sleep, make love to earth, hush to the magic music of winds howl, enriched the soil, seeds of tomorrow. Oh, surrender to the journey. She knows. She always knows the perfection. The goddess rose from the ashes, rose from the soil enriched by the ages. Opened her petals in full bloom to embrace her sun lover, tonal luminosity, the rose and the dove one. She knows surrender. She always knows perfection.
so beautiful. It is so divine. It's sublime. And it's just, there are no words really to explain that. It's something you must feel within. But that's the poetry that Joanne has received from silence. And that's a place of genius where one can receive from source. And I trust that this is some kind of alchemy. That's what it feels like to me, a sacred alchemy that's coming through, you know, in a beautiful poetic creative expression, which is really divine. I think we only have about less than 10 minutes left on the show, so I'd like to maybe read something on spiritual journeys.
Yeah.
About what's going on. The rune initiations are coming up. So, Keepers of the Keys of the Runes, there's a brief discussion about that on spiritual journeys. So, what do we need to do to be initiated into rune mastery? Initiations can be performed up to and including your own level of initiation. A Grand Master can initiate both levels, and a Master can initiate only Master level. Master level may be done long distance. Grand Master level initiation must be done in person. Self-initiation is not possible for Rune Master or Grand Master level. So, preparation for Rune Master initiation. Master and Grand Master Rune initiations each require 8 hours of study with a qualified Master or Grand Master. This may be done in the course of 1 day for 8 hours, or 4 days for 2 hours, 8 days for 1 hour, etc. Master and Grand Master initiations can be done with no waiting period between levels, with completion of 8 hours of study of each level. Who can perform initiations? Those who can perform initiations for both levels will be doing so at Spiritual Journey sponsored events. Long distance initiations for Master level are also possible. Please see the contact list. So the contact list, you have the United States, you contact jan@almin.net. Europe, you contact rohir@almin.net. And Russia, you contact sergey@almin.net. So, for the first time, Spiritual Journeys presents rune initiations in North America. This intensive rune intensive will be held in Columbus, Ohio, and initiations into Master and Grand Master levels of runes will be available at this event. You contact Jan at our US/Ohio Spiritual Journeys office. For more information, the dates are July the 17th to the 19th. And you can contact jan@almin.net, and there's a phone number there that you can call as well. For the Russian Spiritual Journeys office, it's presenting the new Runes of the Infinite Mother. There are 7 live webinars in Russian with Ella and English translation by Sergey. Please contact almin.ru for ongoing information. So there's a lot happening, but there's also something else I would like to mention. Yes, something else, which is quite interesting, and Joanne brought my attention to today. Even though I'd seen it already, I misperceived something, so I had to kind of go back and look. And this was called, I'm like, no, Joanne, no, it's this. And she's like, no. And I'm like, okay, Vanessa, don't be afraid to be wrong. I could be very wrong. And I was wrong. And I'm very happy to admit I was completely wrong. So I was convinced this was the Book of Runes, but this is actually called the Book of Answers. Yes, you heard it, the Book of Answers. Rohir posted it on Spiritual Journeys, the commitment to life. And I just thought, because you mentioned you were at a funeral and stuff like that, I thought I'll tie this in with the show. And, okay, here's one question. It says, is there any reason other than belief systems formed from social conditioning as to why death has such a foothold amongst humanity? And the answer Almin gives is, the reason is guilt. The body, soul, and spirit struggle for supremacy and control in our lives. While alive, the body is in control. Spirit tries to tell us that the body is an unholy and unworthy vehicle for our existence. Thus, we try and prove that we are worthy of life. Then there's another question. Are there other reasons why death persists? Most are not fully committed to life. And we have a sentimental view of death as a place of blissful repose constructed to comfort those who lose loved ones. So it's kind of like, oh, they look peaceful now, they're dead, you know? That's what I'm getting from that anyway. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
You know, it's very sentimental, like, oh, it's good, you know, they're dead, or, you know, they look at peace. So the other one is, excuse me, why aren't we committed to life, excluding the possibility that we don't feel worthy of it? And the answer Almeen gives is, the further that we evolve, now this made very much resonant to my perspective, okay, I'm just saying this answer was very resonant to me. And I really felt it, and maybe you can kind of resonate with some of this as well, Joanne. The further that we've evolved, the less we feel at home, and the less we are able to embrace worldly things. When a major perception-changing event takes place, it can produce a perceptual crisis. Nothing seems to make sense. What matters to others no longer matters to us, and it is possible to lose touch with loved ones. These are the times when one's commitment to life can become very shaky. Not what one would expect from a spiritually developed life. It just seems that the rest of the world is mad, and that their pursuits are shallow, and that their aggression and other baser instincts pollutes one's space. Now, this was very resonant for me. I don't know if it's for you, but I feel so too. And then the other question is, how can one prevent that? How can one prevent that? It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was speaking to myself when I was reading these things. You know, I was like, my God, it's true. It's everywhere. Anyway, by finding a little corner of this world, like your home or room, that is your inner sanctum, your holy space, realize that it is the stage of your evolved reality. Each lives in their own reality, and the insane reality of others is not your reality. You can reject things of the world that seep into your reality. Say firmly, I dissolve this reality. My reality unfolds with grace, ease, and elegance. And banish these thoughts while replacing them with images of nature, of things of nature that make you happy. Interact sparingly with those who do not inspire you. And above all, guard the motives behind your actions to make sure they're not done to live up to others' expectations or to pander or to try to please others. How does one regain the love of life when we have become disenchanted with it? When one hits such a bleak spot in one's eternal journey, change the way you look at the folly of man. Don't think of it as life, but as a procession of folly in the pageantry of life, like jesters and harlequins moving in a procession across the stage of life. If one takes the folly of man seriously, it can cause anger, grief, and depression. Just stay in the observer mode on the stage of eternity. This too will pass. So I'm looking forward to this book, let me tell you.